farm of Larry Campbell, doing an oral history interview for St. Catherine's College on small dairy farming. Larry, you are aware that I'm taping this, and you do give your consent for us to use this information?
Yes, Jackie.
Okay. How I'd like to start off is by letting you tell me a little bit about your background, your family.
Jackie, I grew up in Lincoln County. We lived on a farm all our life. I had two older brothers. My mother and father also worked on the farm until about the time that I started school. I never will forget that I started feeding baby calves when I was 4 or 5 years old. I continued this chores of feeding calves and caring for the show cattle, even on up to my college days. Mother stayed with us until I started school, and then she started teaching school at the public school, music. Dad was a little later on, I don't remember exactly which year, started working for the Division of Marketing in Frankfort, and worked there until he retired 7 or 8 years ago. My oldest brother has gone back in the last 10 years and bought the home farm back after we sold it. And then I've got another brother and lives in Springfield that is in the insurance business. And we're all very proud of one another. I worked my way through high school by coming home after school or after football practice or ball. We all participated in sports, and we all love sports and still do today. And then on weekends, well, we would farm even after Dad left. And we sold the dairy when I was a freshman in high school. And then we started backgrounding cattle, and we moved to town on a little 6-acre tract of land, and we had a feeder pig operation. We farried out about 30 sows, and we'd bring them in and put them in the farrowing barn, and we had a show cattle in the same barn, and farried the sows there, and then we'd take them, after we weaned the pigs, we'd take the sows back to the country. And we rented some land, and we really did more farming then than we were when we were on the dairy. It wasn't as labor intensive. We had a colored man that helped us all the time, and then when the boys, all of us, got home after school or on weekends, we did the major part of our farm. Mainly the colored man raised the tobacco and things, you know, did things for us that we couldn't do every day. From there, I followed my middle brother to Western Kentucky University, where I worked on a pre-vet degree. I was not lucky enough to get accepted to vet school, so I came back and started working on a graduate degree at the University of Kentucky. When I graduated from Western in the summer of 72, I was married to Rosalynn Mountjoy, who has been my wife for 13 years now. We now have 3 children. Kyle is 5, Kevin's 3.5, and Lance is 1. And all boys, of course. Followed just like my dad. From there, I started in graduate school as a dairy science student. We did not have a major supply of money built up, and didn't look like we were going to make it on assistantship. So I took a full-time job at Coldstream working with the beef department and started taking one course a semester toward my graduate degree. This worked real well. I really enjoyed graduate school. I enjoyed working at the university. And I went from there to, when I left the university, I managed a farm in Clark County. Freeman Farm is about a 1,500-acre farm. We grew corn and tobacco. We had about 80,000 pounds of tobacco. And we backgrounded about 850 steers a year. And we had anywhere from 150 to 200 mama cows. And in 1981, we had the opportunity to move to here in Bradfordsville and become a partner in operation. And my wife and I decided, well, maybe it was time that if we were going to put in the hours that took to farming, that maybe we'd start working for ourselves. And that's where we've been the last 4 years. And that's kind of where we stand, working on our degree in farming here.
When you graduated from college, is that when your interest was really strong in farming? You were really sure that farming was how you wanted to make a living the rest of your life?
Yeah, not really until I got in graduate school. I think that's the time. I sat behind the desk the first semester in graduate school and I just did not feel comfortable. For the first time in my life, I put on a little weight, and I just didn't feel I wanted more physical activity. And that's when I went back to work at Coldstream. Growing up through high school, it used to make me so mad. It never failed. It seemed like that whenever you had a date lined up, why, it was always time that you had to, a cow would get out or something was wrong on the farm, and it always made you late when you needed to be on time. And I always swore I'd never be a farmer. And I think the idea that when I got away from the farm, working on my college degree and working in graduate school, made me realize that I really wanted to go back to the farm.
Okay. Just as you had roles in farming when you were a child, I realize that your children are small now and really aren't old enough to have the responsibility of chores on the farm, but do you assign them chores?
Well, we've just really started with our oldest one. Kyle now feeds his cat. They have fed the horse pretty much steady, as long as I'll keep the feed for them where they can get to it, and they can feed the horse. That's pretty much their role. Kyle is getting old enough now where he'll go in the field with me and help me drive cattle a little bit, but as long as I stay pretty close to him. Of course, they love the farm, they love the tractors, but they just, as you said, they're not quite old enough yet to take a role in it other than that. In the process now, they're picking up a few walnuts with my wife, and this is one of their first projects that they, and Kyle really takes an interest in it. Kevin is kind of, well, it's all right if I pick up two or three, and it might be all right if I don't pick up two or three, but that's kind of the interest of where we stand now with the kids. We hope to build up responsibility in our kids by letting them take part in the farming operation.
Could you describe your farming here in Bradfordsville? You have beef cows?
Yes, we have beef cows. We have about 130 mama cows, and we background about 250 to 300 steers a year. We raise about 45,000 pounds of tobacco, about 45 acres of soybeans. We chop about 1,400 tons of silage, and then we pick about 35 acres of corn. The rest of it is in pasture, hay ground.
Okay, when you say background cattle, could you explain this?
Background cattle is where you go to the stockyards and you buy cattle weighing anywhere from 250 to 500 maybe, and you bring them home and you put, say, 300 pounds on them over a period of 6 months, 9 months, depending on what type of feed you want to feed them, how extensive you want to be with them. The major part of that is developing a health program to take care of these cattle. So you have to, when you buy them out of the stockyards, they've been shipped in from everywhere, and then you buy 15 different calves, or they might have come from 12 different other farms. So they're exposed to all kinds of diseases, bacteria, viruses, and they need to be vaccinated for things. They need to be taken care of for parasites, both internal and external. Personally, I think they need to be identified so you know what your cattle are. We like to identify every calf with a number. And then if one gets sick, you know which one to treat. The Federal Food and Drug Act thing is working on us taking some of our antibiotics away that we can treat cattle with, shipping fever now, and some of the old-time drugs. There's so many resistant strains of pastorellas and things that it's hard to treat these cattle with some of the old-time drugs. But we're real proud of our health program. We do about 13 different things to cattle when we bring them home from the stockyards. Part of them are things to stimulate growth and increase their gains. Part of them are things to prevent sickness. And part of them are parasite controls.
So you do feel that health practices are important?
Very definitely. And not only in our backgrounding operation, but in our cow herd for reproductive purposes also. Diseases that affect reproduction. I think they're very, preventive work is a lot better than having to doctor things.
Okay, earlier you mentioned that you grow substantial crops other than your beef cattle operation, do you feel this is necessary to aid?
Well, we try to grow, we grow corn for silage. We try to feed most of our corn. Okay, then we turn around and you have weed crops in your corn. So we turn around and try to grow some soybeans to eliminate some of the weed problems that you can't control in corn. Even though we have probably more problems with weeds in our soybeans, but they are weeds that you can control when you go back in corn. So the main reason we grow soybeans is to control weeds so we can grow corn for feed.
When you first started your farming operation here in Braversville, what kind of problems did you seem to encounter?
Well, the major problem was after I managed a farm in Winchester for 8 years, when I started trying to secure loans and secure money to start my own farming operation, my 8 years of experience meant nothing. All they wanted to talk about was what my net worth was and how stable my loan would be and that type of thing. My experience and how successful I've been in managing the farm for somebody else actually meant nothing, and this was pretty discouraging, really. And the financing part of it was probably the hardest thing. The physical work, because I'm a healthy individual and I'm 35 years old, and other than colds and flu, I haven't ever been very sick. So the physical part does not bother me. The mental part, you know, can get to you every once in a while, especially with the cattle prices seesawing back and forth, the tobacco program in the state of sad shape it's in now. I see a real problem with the tobacco thing. In fact, if the government doesn't take the program away, I think the farmers will vote it away in the next 2 years or so, because I don't think they're going to give a third of their crop to pay for to keep the government program.
If the tobacco crop is gone, what do you think will be the major cash crop in the state of Kentucky?
Well, the governor and everybody's talking about increase in vegetables, the produce thing. I don't think that's an answer. I would like to see more intensive people working on their forage programs. I think in this county, this is where the big intake can be. I think cattle numbers in this county could triple easy within a 2-year period if they would just concentrate and treat their pastures as if it was a crop and not just like it was a free grass just growing out there. Because, you know, that land that grass is growing on is not free. And if they would treat that more like a crop, like they do corn or tobacco or anything, and try to strive to get more production off of that pasture land, I think they could increase their cattle number, which, you know, realizing that everybody can't do that, because you'd have an oversupply of cattle, which you've got now. I mean, with the demand on beef going down every day. But to me, that's where the real answer is. That plus the fact that if Kentuckians could do away with in-the-fight fescue and get a in-the-fight free fescue, there's no telling how many gain of weight on cattle that you could increase in the whole state with as much fescue as we have in the state. So I feel like that's the place that we've got the most room for improvement without getting too labor intensive. Because, you know, a small farmer can do the forage work pretty much by himself. He can take his cattle and manage it. He can use electric fences to divide his fields up where he can manage them. And it's not, you know, it's not very labor intensive to put up electric fence or put up a high tensile wire with two strands of electric or something.
Okay, you were talking about the government and what it's doing to the tobacco industry. Do you feel that there are any other government policies that are holding you back from doing the best farming today that you can?
Oh, that's a good one. Well, not, I can't think of anything really extent, you know, right off the top of my head. I'm a member of the National Cattlemen's Association, and we constantly fight those type of decisions being made in Congress. Just to give an example, last year the government was going to come out with that you had to keep a log in your pickup every day of what you did, how much gas you spent, where you went, how much mileage, and this type of thing, and when you used it on the farm and off the farm. Well, this would have been a, you know, a tremendous headache bookwork for a farmer, and help to the NCA and Farm Bureau and these other programs got that thing eliminated where it did not include a farmer, because there's just, you know, it would have been so cumbersome to try to do that, that it would really been a problem. Sometimes I'd like to see government take a little less role in agriculture, but at the same time I'd like to see my commodities protected, so it's hard to tell. I think the you know, you go back to Carter's administration where you had the grain embargo, you had the pig program. I think the pig program hurt the cattle industry tremendous. But, you know, it happened and we've lived through it, so maybe, you know, maybe it won't happen again. But the fact that a lot of land went back into pastures, they increased cattle numbers and it oversupplied a market. And we're just now beginning to work those cattle back off again.
Could you tell me about where the price of cattle stands today? Is it?
Well, just this week I was in Louisville at the yards, and I saw fat cattle bring $59.80. And I would say, you know, I just saw a few cattle sale, and I'd say they probably had some $60 cattle there Monday at the yards. Cattle this year, I was looking at a sheet the other day, as far as feeder cattle are concerned, probably $5 a hundred for 7-weight cattle, cheaper than they were a year ago at this time. I think I'm right on that. I look at so many numbers that I can't, you know, remember. I do take a weekly newspaper from NCA that lists prices today, a month ago, and a year ago, and I kind of can keep up with it, you know, that way. But I can't pull it right off the top of my head. I know last year, after the first of the year, we were looking at 8-weight cattle worth about $61 to $62, and today those cattle are probably worth $57. So you're looking at about $5 a hundred.
If I took away your cash crops, tobacco, things that you don't need to raise your cattle, could you make it in farming just in a cattle industry?
Probably could, because we would do a better job with cattle than in what we do now. Tobacco is your cash crop, and that comes first. If it's a priority between working cattle today or pulling tobacco plants and setting tobacco, you have to set tobacco. The cattle are pushed on the back burner. Some of this is all right, but then at times it can cost you money. You would have to really get intensity. I don't think you could pay for a farm today with cattle. If you manage the farm, you might can put together the machinery easy. And I say easy by you buying used machinery. I don't mean easy by just buying all new stuff. I don't think there's any way. Tractor prices are too high. Even though they are beginning to come down a little bit, you know, when they run special rebates and this type of thing, you can buy tractors cheaper. I don't mean to avoid your question, but it would be very impossible, I think, today for a young man to buy a farm, put the cattle on it, and purchase the machinery to run it, with tobacco or without tobacco, without your cash crops. Just a cattle farm and you can leave it. I look for all the farms to continue to get bigger. More farms will be put together. It takes To put a manager on a farm, it takes basically 1,500 acres to do it. I don't think a businessman, individual, can afford to hire a manager, the type that he really needs, and put on a farm much less than 1,500 acres. Now, I mean, he can put people on it, but to get, to get the production out of it.
So what you're saying is that it's almost impossible to run a farm without proper management.
Right. I think, proper management is probably the most important thing that you can have. Know what you're going to do, kind of know when you want to do it, and then you have to make adjustments every day, because you can't allow for the weather, you can't allow for machinery breakdowns. But try to keep the thing going as a flow, and try to keep flowing from one job into another. I think you need some management work. I think you need some budgeting work, and you got to project some incomes. Know kind of what you're going to get out of something based on today's prices, realizing that in 6 months those prices might change. You have very little control over that. The only thing you can do is maybe plot prices over the past and try to project a little bit what prices are going to be in the future. But I think more and more young farmers need to work on budgeting and income projections and see what's going to happen.
Okay. Does your wife help out on the farm here in Fredericksville?
Right now my wife doesn't. She takes care of the three little ones.
So she's pretty much
she's got her hands full. Now, she will go get parts for me if I have breakdowns, or she'll pick up things in town for me, or in the evenings we'll go move cattle or something with the pickup, and she'll help me that way. But as far as getting out and doing tractor work and things, my wife grew up in town and has never really been exposed to doing that part of it. She enjoys the farm. She likes to keep up with the cattle numbers. She pays the bills. She posts all the bills in our record books and does those things for me, which is a big help. And that's it.
Do you think that the day and time is over that when you can just, a 16-year-old could graduate from high school and begin farming, or do you feel like education is necessary? I know you talked a lot about management and budgeting.
I think I don't care how far he goes in college, but I think it's very important that he goes. Not from what maybe he's going to learn, what he learns in the classroom, but what he will learn from his fellow students, his disposition in life. He'll learn to accept other people's ideas. He does not always have to agree with them, but he learns to accept them, sort them out, and use the ones that he wants to use. And then when he goes to meetings, he can pick up little things that will suit his farm. When he goes to production meeting on corn or production meeting. Yes, I think college is very important. There's some programs that you can go for 2 years and take just ag courses. When I was in college, I think I took a lot of courses that really maybe today have no meaning. Or at that time, I felt like they didn't have any meaning. But as I look back, a lot of times, I can draw on some of those courses and make an everyday decision here on the farm. I wish I had a few more management courses when I was in college.
Do you feel like farming with your father as a child has helped you?
Probably more than anything else. Because my father must have had the patience of Job. I look at myself trying to let my kids do things and learn things, and I have a hard time being patient enough with them sometimes. And I look back at the things that Dad let us do and the mistakes that we made, and he let us do it and let us learn for ourselves. I think it's been invaluable to me the rest of my life. But as I went to college, I learned that there were other ways to do things besides the way that Dad did them. But yet that gave you an alternative. You knew more than one way to do it. And you might not want to do it either one way. You might want to try it a third way. But yes, I think it was invaluable. I had a feed salesman ask me one time when I knew fescue was fescue. And I couldn't remember. It's always been fescue. So, you know,
you learn like, those things. So you feel like a combination of your past experience and your education has made you a successful farmer today?
Well, I don't know how successful I am today, but I think it helps you tremendously, yes.
How would you advise your children?
Become a doctor, lawyer, or something. No, if they want to put up with the headaches of farming, that'll be their decision. I would definitely push them toward college. I'll almost demand that they go to college the first year. I hope they enjoy it enough that they want to strive to work for it themselves, because there's no telling the time my children are old enough what education will cost. In fact, somewhere along the line it might get prohibitive, because I know it's a lot more expensive now than it was when I went. But I'd very definitely want them, I want them to grow up learning to take responsibility. And we will try to push them through 4-H. We enjoy sports, where they play sports or that type of thing is their decision. The thing that I think they learn in sports is discipline. You try to teach them so much that at home, but yet I think in athletics they learn that also.
Nowadays, how everything is going, it seems like everything is being computerized. Do you think the day and time will come when a farm can be run with computers?
Well, I think you're seeing more and more use of computers on the farm now. In fact, my wife coupons and refunds, I guess she calls it, keeps all these coupons and things. And when she gets a refund check back through the mail, she's putting it in a special account, saving to buy my children a computer that they can use in school, but at the same time we can put our farm records on. And on the computer line, we've got an ag text program. Well, I've got a little special box on my television that I can turn and get information from the university on. I can get the market reports every day from the Louisville market, the Lexington market, and sometimes they'll put the Omaha markets on. And you get a lot of weather forecasts. Sometimes they have the weather forecast. This is a program developed through the Extension and Educational TV that we can pick up. And it, sometimes when we're pricing cattle, we sell a lot of our cattle right off the farm. I feel like it gives me a lot of advantage sometimes, that I can help that. I see more and more computers being used on the farm. I've got a friend that has a register pole Herford operation. He's got every cow's record on the computer. Instead of coming home at night and working on his books, writing down everything, he punches everything in that computer. And he's got a little pocket thing that he can go to the field and he punches that cow number in the computer and it comes out on a little readout. And he's got everything he needs right there.
So you do see a use for computers in farming,
right,
as a time-saving mechanism?
Yeah, and when you get into your larger feedlot operations, all your cattle farming or feed farming are done with a computer. And the secretary sits in the office. And at one feedlot I know, she punches in the numbers, and within 8 seconds, the feed's dumped in the truck. And then it goes down the truck to the feed pumps.
I know time is an important thing when you're a farmer, because it's hard to pay people to help you.
Well, we learned in a management class one time, if your labor, if you couldn't get a return of $5 for every dollar that you spent and labor, then you didn't need that person. And that's a goal that you kind of look for. And if you pay him $1 in labor a day, you should look.
Is this your policy in your farming operation?
I do not keep up with my labor quite, you know, that close. So I really, you know, I've never set out and broken enterprises down and how much I, except tobacco, really. I usually can figure out how much it costs me to set my tobacco, house my tobacco, and strip my tobacco.
Okay, just to kind of sum it all up here, could you give me your true feelings about the future of the small farmer? Do you think they're going to survive?
I think in some ways the small farmer is really, really in trouble because he can't afford the mechanization that it's going to take to keep him producing, the prices of machinery. He's going to have that because he can't afford the labor to, you know, to do the things because it's not going to be available. I think the Kentucky farmer probably is blessed more with labor than any other farmer in the country because of tobacco. Tobacco has kept people on the farm more than it has. Now when the tobacco program's gone, I think you're really going to see a labor shortage in the state of Kentucky. Because they're going to basically be going to other jobs. And the person that I really feel sorry for at the tobacco program is a person without the high school education. This person is going to be a problem.
Is it possible for a small farmer to compete successfully against a large cattle industry? Would it be possible?
If he was mechanized to the point that he could do it himself. But then your net returns per animal are just going to be so much. And he's got to get so intensified that I doubt, you know, that he's ever going to be able to do that. I don't, and as the future grows, I don't think he will be. But, you know, what's going to verify a large operation? Acres is not going to do it because in Texas, the Midwest, it takes so many more acres to run a cow than it does in Kentucky. So cow numbers are going to probably determine the size. You know, there again, he's going to have to be able to project his income before he works on his cost. You know, you cut your cost as much as you can, but it reaches a point where when you cut costs too much, you're cutting your income. So, you know, you get to the point where you spend a dollar, you get $2 back, then you better spend it. And this is where the farmer's going to have to work on.
So with the price of tobacco going down and the price of cattle down, the future looks...
It looks bleak. It really does.
Do you think that your sons will enter the business of farming?
I would say probably one out of the three will. Somewhere along the line. I don't think they'll ever farm for themselves. I think they'll farm for somebody else. If they're interested. I wouldn't doubt if one out of three did. Because I think there'll become a time when there'll be so much land owned by corporations that they'll have to pay a real attractive salary for somebody to run those farms. And I don't think you've got enough young people going back into farming today that they're going to provide those people.
What do you think is the major problem? Why aren't farmers' children, as you said, going back into farming today?
Because of income and the amount of time that it takes to hours that it requires to get the job done.
Do you have any suggestions or comments that you feel would help this problem?
I think everybody, they need to treat their farm business more like a regular business instead of just a hodgepodge operation or something. You know, I think you need to set goals and try to reach those goals. Set restrictions on yourself for labor. Budget your time, maybe, is what I'm trying to say. I think it's definitely important that you spend so much time with your family. And maybe you can do a little more of that on the farm, because you can sneak time with your family. Trips to stockyards, trips to the grain elevator. You can take your family with you. And so I think you need to budget your time a little bit and know what you're going to do and have a little bit of idea of how long it takes to do each job. And don't try to force yourself, rush yourself so much that you can't do a good job at what you're doing.
So you think if every farmer treated his farm like a business and budgeted and also had proper management, the small farmer could survive today?
I think he would be in better shape, but I'm still not to the point that I think he could buy his farm and pay for it. No, I don't think he ever will be. I think those days are gone. I think the only way that you can buy land today is that if you already own a farm and you add land to it. I don't think you can start from scratch anybody unless they've got a tremendous value. It's sad to say, but I just don't believe it can be done.
Okay, is there anything else you'd like to say during this interview?
No, I think we've pretty well covered most of it.
Okay, I want to thank you for letting us take this opportunity to interview you and use this research. I think maybe what we need to do is call a meeting with all the farmers and you know, I hate to see the small farming industry gone, you know, and I'd hate to see the large industry take over, because...
Well, I think the countryside of America is going to miss something if the family farm is completely gone. And I think probably we have more family farms maybe in Kentucky than other places, even though they don't live other places, because of tobacco. But when this is gone, I think we'll see a change. I hope I've been of some help in the research. Can help. Maybe we will come out with a new crop that will grow that will take place at that.
Just the other day, I heard someone say that broccoli was going to take the place of tobacco.
It's a specialized crop.
Do you think? What are your feelings about this?
Maybe I'm a little naive or a little hard-headed or something, but I just don't think they'll find anything that's going to great amount of money with the type of labor it takes to raise tobacco. It's going to be hard to educate these people to raise a new crop and handle it completely like they have tobacco. That's because that's all they've done for years. And I think it'll be hard to replace tobacco. I really do. I think there'll always be tobacco, but I think they're going to cut it down so that we'll not make the money that we've made in tobacco over the past years. And I look for tobacco on a tenant basis going 50-50 with the landlord is going to stop pretty soon. The tenant's going to have more than 50% if he's going to continue raising. So there's a lot of things that can happen.
Okay. I want to thank you for letting me do this interview with you, and I've really appreciated it, and I've enjoyed the conversation. I think I've learned a lot.
Thank you.
Okay.